a warm welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we are joined by Peterhead manager David Robertson. He'll be answering your questions and telling us how the first 3 months in the job have gone, plus we'll be previewing this Saturday's vital game at Clyde. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Toon Podcast. I am Colin Byers, and with me, as ever, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Colin. How are you?
Not too bad. Did you miss no football this week? Was it good to wake up on a Sunday after naying a defeat?
I thought we played well on Saturday. Didn't get beat. It was a wee bit strange. Weird as well. Aberdeen weren't playing either, so it was a strange weekend. Not much football going on. In terms of my individual team. So, yeah, strange game.
Actually enjoy the fact that it was nothing on. But obviously, the next week is the big one, Clyde away. But before that, we do have a sort of different episode this week. We've been joined by Peterhead manager David Robertson is coming on. So looking forward to that. I guess as well, you're looking forward to it as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's been a fair few changes at the club in the last couple of months. It'll be good to get Dave's insight to what he's thinking and how he envisages the rest of the season going, because it's been a very tricky and difficult season, so I'll be interested to see his thoughts.
Before we go any further, I will make an apology just now, because if you listened to last week's episode, you'll maybe have noticed a slight sort of abrupt ending to the episode. That was, I'll put that down as an editing issue on my part. it was obviously supposed to be the usual kind of ending, things like that. So hopefully there's nae anything like that this week, especially when we've got somebody else on with us.
You just wanted a sharp getaway. That was the problem.
Just get it over and done with. So with David's going to be answering some of your questions. We've got loads of them, and we can simply just kind of go through each individual one question. So if we then answer your question, it's nine personal. Again, as I said, we've just got so many coming in. But hopefully he answers enough to appease everybody, I guess, at this time. So without any sort of further ado, we'll just crack on and we'll get David on just now. David Robertson, welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast. How are you?
Yeah, good. Been pretty busy, but no, it's good to be on it. I'd just be good to sort of say, get not my point across, but just sort of give some news as to what's going on and what's been going on since we've arrived at Balmoor, so that'll be good to answer some questions.
Yeah, got lots of questions that have come in. I've got to ask you though, first and foremost, what do you prefer? Should we call you? Should we call you David? Davey, what do you prefer?
Anything. I know I've been called any one of those three is fine. David's probably best. I think that's what everybody calls me.
Right, okay, that's fine. Anybody call you Dave? Surely nobody calls you Dave.
No, I don't like Dave. It's like Dave and Steve are the extra three. No, I'm fine. David or David's fine.
If they ever called you Dave once, that would be an act, would it?
Yeah, that's it. Probably during the season I'll be called a lot worse.
Right, lots of questions, as I say. More or less, obviously, speaking about Peterhead, but how are things with you? How are you finding life back in Scotland, more on a sort of full-time basis again?
Yeah, no, it's been good. I mean, obviously, the weather's a bit of this. It's the first winter I've had in Scotland for probably 5 years. Well, probably 15 years, because I lived in Phoenix for 10 years prior to that, India. So, that's taken a bit of getting used to. But, no, it's just good being back in. And obviously, being at Peterhead, it means I can come home every night, and it's a little bit closer at home. But no, it's been good. Like I say, it's been a challenge, but it's something that I'm thoroughly enjoying it, and you just want to each game to come. And I think last weekend with no game, you do tend to you get a bit itchy feet come Friday. You want to have a game, but no, it's given a few of the players a bit of a rest to get back. But for me, I'm just, dying to get the next game.
Yeah, and what made you sort of want to come back to Scotland then?
I think I've been in India for 5 years, and, it's hard being away from home for 8 months at a time. okay, you get four or five months at home, which is good. But I just think, you know, being there for 5 years, and I'm not saying I was getting stale, but, you know, it was very repetitive in what was happening. And in the past 2 years, two seasons, it was in a COVID bio bubble. So that was, the first year was hard enough, but to go and do it again was very difficult. And I made my mind up, and obviously sort of promised my wife as well that that's it, I'm coming home. You know, we had a couple of holidays in America before, obviously, I came to Peterhead. But, you know, I was hoping to have a bit of a break, but that hasn't quite happened.
And you've mentioned, I think just after you'd become Peterhead manager, that you felt your previous jobs in Scotland at Montrose and Elgin, you maybe weren't prepared or ready for management and coaching at the time. So,
I was at Leeds United, and I finished off my career early, and I started to play charity games and playing with guys like, you know, Alan Clark and Peter Lorimer, who are 20 years older than me, and I felt as if I could still play. And then obviously went to Montrose with John Sherrin, and he got me involved in coaching a little bit as well. Did the B licence and what have you. But, you know, I then went to Elgin, and I think I was only 32 at the time, and I was very, I mean, obviously having been in the Premiership, very little experience in League 3 it was in those days. Even coaching-wise, I was inexperienced, you know, and I think it's very difficult to go from playing into coaching and managing, particularly at a different level to what I was at. But I was just very naive and just wasn't ready for it. You know, I think I was the youngest manager in Britain at that point, which, you know, like I say, was very, very young. But I was just very naive. And, you know, since then, I went back to Montrose after Elgin for a very, very short time and spent 10 years in America, which I think really helped me as a coach. I coached professional there, but obviously youth. And you're coaching probably what? So in some weekends, you're coaching 12 games in 3 days, which is hard. So it makes you a better game day coach to change things. But I think overall, you know, you're doing 10 sessions a week, sometimes 12. It was very, I don't know, that really helped me as a coach. You know, like I say, you can have all the badges in the world. You know, I did the A licence and the Pro licence. But without the hands-on experience, it's very difficult. It's like playing as well. When you first start playing, you make mistakes and the mistakes get less. So, you know, coaching's the exact same. And, you know, I'm what, 54 now. It's over 20 years since I was at Elgin. So I've calmed in a lot. I've achieved a lot. You know, the man management stuff. And the game's totally changed in those years. The players, the mentality of players have totally changed since I was playing anyway. It's a different society we live in. So you've got to adapt and, you know, just sort of move with the times. And, you know, and I think, again, the 5 years in India has helped me off the pitch, on the pitch. Different cultures, dealing with different types of people, you know, obviously different formations, different way of coaching and what have you. So I think I've had a vast amount of experience and, you know, you come back here and, you know, I think it's probably, 15, 16 years later, then, you know, I'm ready to go again and I'm, you know, far more experienced, not just as a coach but in life as well. You know, I think as a professional football player at the level I was at, you were always in you're a bit in a bubble and a cocoon. You're sort of protected from the real world. And it's not until you finish that and obviously where I've been in the past 20 years, you become a more rounded person and a more mature person and maybe a calmer person.
Have you noticed any differences in Scottish football since you've come back then?
No, I think the league itself, you know, the sort of like League One and League Two, they're, you know, they're very similar. Obviously, there's more full-time teams. I think what I've found different is the amount of top clubs that are, you know, have got relegated. And, you know, in that time I was away from Scotland, you know, you got teams like Dundee United were down, Hearts were down, Hibs were down, obviously Rangers had their issues. So I think a lot of things have changed that way. The player, the way the game's played as well is totally different. You can see that in our league alone, there's teams with different styles of play. You know, obviously I've watched some of the League Two games as well, and it's maybe a little bit more direct and a little bit more blood and guts kind of thing. But there's teams in League One like that. Obviously you play a team like Dunfermline that are probably a championship SPL team in our league. So you learn a lot from them. But I think the level of players and I think it's, you find before, obviously all those years ago, players, I don't think the level was quite there because, you're getting play. Even you look at managers now, you get some, top managers in the lower leagues, not only here, but everywhere, because everybody wants a job, everybody wants to keep playing. So, players and managers are quite prepared to drop down the leagues to play. So obviously the standard gets better.
So we've got the first of the supporter questions in. This one is from Ethan Masson. He wants to know, what attracted you to a job with a struggling team?
Well, obviously, the past jobs I've had, I've always liked a challenge. I think when I was a player, I was used to success. Aberdeen, Rangers and Leeds, and you're always winning trophies and stuff. But I think with Peterhead, it's not even so much that they're a struggling team. When jobs come available, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a team that's having one or two issues, probably in the wrong place in the league. And obviously, that's the case at Peterhead. But I think, obviously, being at local, and, there's a lot of family ties to the club. I've got, my mum was one of 13 brought up in Hope Street, in Peterhead. And, my uncle, Bob Chalmers, and, Donna works in the office in the club. So she's obviously my cousin. But there's just my wife's family are from Peterhead, played at Peterhead, and she's got family there. So there's a lot of connections there as well. But I think even I remember my times at Elgin when we were, Peterhead were the team. Mm. Outside Aberdeen, Peterhead were the North East, and that was the team. And fortunate enough that the job came up and I was successful to get the job. So I didn't need it. I didn't need any persuasion to take it. It's just, as I say, it's the, if the club weren't in the position it was, Jim would probably still be here. See, obviously success he's had. So I think it had to be a real, travesty or a real bad performances or whatever before, Jim moved on, and obviously whoever came in knew it was going to be a difficult job.
How much did the family connection play a part in you coming to Peterhead? Was that a major part in it?
Yeah, well, my mother passed away about 18 months ago, and my father was 6 months after that. So I know my mum would have been proud that her son was the manager of Peterhead. And obviously Mason played there for that, I think it was a season that he played. He loved it. And, like I say, I've got aunties and uncles. My wife's got family there. My best man, Scott Tate, he obviously played there, lives there. So a lot of connections. And you feel, you feel it's not like going into any other club. You go in there and you feel as if, I'm not saying you're attached to it, but there's something there.
Stephen Donovan wants to know, has the job been more difficult than you first thought?
Well, I knew it was going to be difficult. I think, when I first took the job, you I've watched videos, I've seen a lot, but once you get the players up live, you can tell that, when they're training together, they look like a good group, a good team, and then when you actually go and play some games, you realise that we're way off. I think the main part was the physicality side of it. Not even the height, just the physicality. There was a lot of, small, not physically strong players. And I think it was evident when we played FC Edinburgh. The Kelty Hearts game was, the first half we did really well against Kelty Hearts. We sat in, defended well. We probably could have been a couple of goals up at half time. Then we lost a goal just after half time. And then we did okay for 20 minutes after that. We rallied around a little bit. And then Andy McDonald got sent off, got a penalty kick, and then the wheels came off a little bit. So you thought to yourself, oh, it's a lot. The attitude's great. And to be fair, you can't fault the attitude of the majority of the players. And then, you think there's a lot to build on. And then we played at FC Edinburgh, and I don't think we got our own half in that game. And I know that, a lot of people say there's no strikers and what have you, but there's a lot of things going on, with the team. And, a team's in that position for a reason, So answer the question is, I knew it was difficult, there's, a lot of difficulties in where you are. And I think these days it's more the mental approach as opposed to the ability.
One of the big changes was obviously bringing in Jimmy and Ian onto your coaching staff. Was it easy to persuade them to come on board, and what qualities did they bring to the table?
Yeah, well, I think both of them have got experience. You know, it's probably the oldest backroom staff in the league. I think between the two of them, it's about 140, 150 years experience. Well, years between them. So Ian's obviously was itching to get back in. I've known Ian. I mean, I was one of the guinea pigs when he was doing his C licence or B licence in Aberdeen. And I've known about him, and he was recommended to me. And you've also got that mutual kind of respect kind of thing. So he was delighted. You know, he's retired, so he's got all the time in his hands. Jimmy Lindsay is, I had him in India with me. He was at Montrose for a short spell with me as well. So I know him pretty well. You know, I spent a lot of time with him in India. Probably two or three of the years I was there, he was there with me. So again, he's got a lot of experience. Ian knows a lot in the Northeast. Jimmy knows a lot in the South. And, you know, I think between the three of us, one of us will know a player or know somebody that knows someone. So I think there was no, and again, Jimmy's sort of retired as well. So we've all at Avside don't work. So we're fortunate enough that we can spend hours and hours, WhatsApp messages, Zoom calls. Me and Ian will get together for a coffee. So we spend a lot of time together trying to get this project right.
And you mentioned as well that you might be looking to add additions to your coaching staff as well. What might they be? Is that something you might do later rather than sooner?
Yeah, I think it'll be later. You know, I think it is what it is this season. Obviously, there's budgets to stick to, and but we're always trying to improve a lot. You know, there's a lot of people that I've met over the years, and maybe we might need somebody a little bit younger. Not so much for that we're getting old, but I think just a little bit of freshness, some new ideas. Although, you know, we are pretty well versed, and we're looking to get, you know, the video analysis stuff done. We've got someone doing it at the moment, but sometimes it can be a bit of a full-time job based on what we want to try and achieve, because there's so much areas out there. You know, we might need something to do with it, come pre-season, fitness and sports science, that kind of things. But when we got in the job, it was a case of, okay, three of us will get it done. And, you know, if we can, you know, at the end of the season, sit down and see if we can add one or two to the staff, and I think it'll make everyone's life, you know, a lot easier as well.
Is performance analysis and things like that, do you think could be the slight difference between, you know, like us and Clyde or you know, Falkirk or something like that?
Yeah, well, I think with some of the full-time teams, they can spend an afternoon doing it. When I was in India, it was full-time, and you had all the time in the world to prepare, do things. I think a lot of people forget, for the likes of us at the moment, it's 3 hours a week training. You get to see the boys for 3 hours, and, you know, we're not training until 8:30 at night, so you're finished at 10. You're only getting an hour and a half, half an hour, that's a warm-up. So, you know, in early part of the week, it's sometimes some of the players can't, you know, obviously because they're a little bit older, they might have to nurse injuries and they can't do both sessions. So you get very little time. So, you know, what we have been doing is, obviously we've got a programme, Y Scout, that will send the players, you know, the game of the opponents coming up. So like for this week, you know, I think tomorrow they'll end up getting the Clyde's game against, I think it was Airdrie. So they'll get a chance to look at it. You know, you get some players that will want to do it, some players that won't. And then obviously we were doing it for a while, but sometimes the program's a little bit off at times that we were given the previous game. Each player's clips of each area is the time they touched the ball and involved. So we're doing everything we can. We've obviously changed a little bit with the you know, energy drinks and all that kind of stuff. We managed to get give them as much of an advantage or an edge as we can. So we're doing everything we can to, what I'm saying, make sure on a Saturday they're prepared as much as they can be.
That'll be the slight frustration that it is only two sessions at a week, and it is like only really 2 hours because also you've got your warm-up as well. That'll be a slight frustration that you kind of get as much into them as it may be like.
It is. I mean, what we tend to find that Thursdays, you get an hour on the last hour on the Thursday, that's when you can do it. But at the same time, you've got to be careful with the workload you give them in case you give them too much, you know, because, I mean, they've all got different jobs. Some of them sit in an office, some of them are, you know, manual work. So there's a lot of things to consider. You know, you just want to make sure that they're ready to go on the Saturday. You know, for example, Ryan Strachan, he hasn't had a proper pre-season, obviously, because of the necessity for him to get back early from surgery to play games. We've had to sort of nurse him a little bit. Obviously, he had a facial injury as well that he couldn't play. And I mean, we couldn't even play him as a centre-back. We had to play in the middle of the pitch to save him having to head the ball. So there's a lot of things that you've got to contend with. But, you know, the one thing I like about it is that the group we've got now, we've got a fantastic attitude. And, you know, obviously the new players have come in. I mean, I think we've brought in 10 players, I think, roughly around about 10 players. And, you know, they're not getting much time to gel together. You know, one or two of them are getting stronger as they get along. But we just got to make sure that they speed up that process and get it. But it is difficult trying to get your point across. I mean, we have done one or two things, maybe a little bit different. But to be fair, they are taking things on board, which is good.
Sure, Fraser would want to know what kind of style of football are you hoping to achieve, and is that kind of style based on, you know, just what's the results at the minute? Is it more difficult to kind of get the style of football you're wanting?
I think it is difficult. You know, I felt when we came in, obviously we didn't have a striker of any note, really, with Mike Hewitt playing up there, who was a right back, although I see Ayer, he's playing as a withdrawn striker now, so Peterhead have obviously helped him get in and what have you. I mean, he got recalled, which was a bit of a blow for us, because obviously we wanted to keep him. But no, I felt when we came in, the physique of the side, we weren't sort of physically tough enough, I don't think, to go and compete regularly. You can compete in a game now and again, but to regularly compete with the teams. But I felt as well there was a lot of passes. You know, it was like 100 passes sort of not going anywhere, and sort of getting to the final third and it sort of fizzles out. And by taking that many touches and passes, it allows the opposition to get set up, you know, particularly at home games as well. So we decided that we want them to obviously play a little bit more direct. But we want a balance. In time, we want the balance between the two. They recognise when to play the ball in behind, play it forward or hit a target striker. But they have to recognise when we can get the ball from the back. So it's not a case of, it was like, you know, 100 passes before, and now it seems like it's long ball, long ball, long ball. But there's a balance in between. And then again, you know, we're dealing with players that we've just brought in. Some of the existing players found it difficult to adapt because obviously they just want to play, and we don't want to take that out of them. It's just knowing the right times when to play, when not to play. And, you know, now we've got options up front, which means we can, you know, you look at Kieran, for example. I mean, the work rate he's got, he'll make a bad pass into a good pass. So I think we want to sort of vary. We want to play, we want to be exciting to watch, but we still have to have that threat where we can play the ball in behind. And I think at the moment it's more one way as opposed to a mix. But that'll come as time goes on.
Ethan's second question is, when will we see a settled defensive line? We've seen a lot of players playing at right back this season.
Yeah, well, it's been a bit of a challenge. You know, we brought Kevin in. We had one or two players that, before Ryan came back in, went in midfield. We obviously had a few changes. Ryan's gone back in there. But every week, probably the last 3 weeks, Ryan's had to have a fitness test before the game. So, you know, we're always thinking about other things. You know, we played Jason as a wing back the other week, and maybe it was asking too much of Jason. You know, we've got Leighton in there. We've also got Danny Strachan. And I think Danny's got a big, you know, part to play with the club in the future. But we actually went down to watch a player on loan. It wasn't even Leighton, and Leighton was the one after 10 minutes that we thought he's a guy for us because he can naturally play that wing back position. It's actually a very difficult position to play. Jason found that against Queen of the South. And you know, it's no fault of his. I can take the responsibility that I put him in a tough spot. And like I say to you, it's hard because you don't get a lot of time during the week to to try things out, but I thought he could have done it. But to be fair, that day as well, he was ill, he was sick, so he went through a bit of a struggle in that game, both positionally and, you know, illness-wise as well. So, but I think we're getting close to it now. My biggest thing, just with the whole team, is everybody said at the start, we don't have strikers, we don't score goals, which is fine, but we're conceding a lot. Even before I came in, we're conceding a boatload of goals. So it was everywhere, even the midfield. You know, I think Andy McCarthy needs a bit of help in there as well. And that's something we were trying to address. I think we played Queen of the South, and if you watch the game again, for the first 25 minutes, we were brilliant. And then Jordan Brown got injured, and the shape just went. And we really struggled when he went out. So we're trying to find that solution in there. Last week, we played Enoch in there, and we played him in a bounce game on the Tuesday. Looked great, but struggled in that position. So there's a lot of things that we're trying to get right. But I understand probably the back three, if we play three at the back, is sort of settled now. Wing-backs will be settled going in. You know, hopefully this weekend they're all fit and we can go and, you know, continue from there. But I understand what you're saying, that we have been sort of chopping and changing a bit, and but it's just trying to find that balance.
But on the other side, Jack Wilkie seems to be the first name on the team sheet. He's been brilliant the last 3 months.
Well, I think with Jack, he came, from what I'm led to believe, and obviously I speak to him quite a lot, that he's he came in as a centre-back. But when I came to watch the team, he was playing as a wing-back, and I think he struggled as a wing-back. So a couple of games, we played him in the back four, and he did well. And then we've put him back into a wing-back, and he probably gets into some great goal-scoring opportunities. Obviously, that side of his game still to come, but I think he's got a huge future in the game. And, you know, I keep, you know, talking to guys at Dundee and see how well he's doing, and I think he's getting more and more consistent. I mean, obviously, it's a position that I played, so I've obviously been able to help him a little bit. But I think guys like him and you know, I think, you know, the younger guys coming into, this is why they're here, to learn from the older heads. And sometimes the players can be brutal with them. But, you know, I think we, as a coaching staff, give them the confidence that if you make a mistake, it's okay. You know, and like I say, I think he's got the only down point for us is that we won't have him next season. So that's a bit of a nightmare. But, you know, hopefully we don't have him for his sake, you know.
Does that make it the loans? I think it's tempting to get a young guy in like that, but when you know you maybe only got him for 6 months or a year at the most, does it make that sort of loan market a bit more worrying when you go into it? Because you just then again what you might get?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think when I came in with Ewan Murray and Max Gillis, and I think, you know, if we were mid-table, they would have played, but I think where we're at, we don't have time to experiment with those types of players. Jack Wilkie is obviously physically stronger, and I like what I saw. Leighton's a big physical kind of guy as well. So, budgets as well, it helps loan players help because obviously they're a good bit cheaper. But the problem is, you look at Mikey Hewitt, you know, we were actually going to play him as a right wing back before he went back. It was his original position, and then I got a phone call from Lee Bullen to say they're taking him back. So that was a nightmare. And then we had the issue with Tom Ritchie before Queen of the South. You know, I got a call from Aberdeen to say, look, you're not going to like what we're saying, but we're going to recall them. So, you know, and then Thursday morning, I'm scrambling around calling everybody, every person I know all over the world that I need a goalkeeper. And fortunate enough, it all fell into place because we'd actually earmarked Stuart McKenzie to come in next year. But we just had to sort of push the boat out a little bit to get him in now, which, you know, thankfully we've got him for a couple of years anyway.
It didn't get to the stage where you were asking Scott Tate to get the gloves back out again, was it?
Well, I saw him, I know, for a couple of wasn't a thought, and he might fill the goal, that'd be a bit of
have you seen improvements within the team then, in terms of like performances and things like that, and what performances have pleased you most so far?
Yeah, well, I think if I go through, I mean, through the games, I mean, Kelty was great. It was a first game, it was a good reaction and what have you. But then obviously Edinburgh, we knew there was problems. And then we played with Montrose, we played after that. And, you know, it was the first clean sheet. There was a bit of hunger. I think with Daniel played, Glenn played at the start. I think Kevin was there. So there was one or two new players in. I think, I'm not sure if Kieran was there. I'm not sure. I think Kieran might have played in that game. But that was a game where we actually began to create one or two chances. You know, obviously we got the clean sheet, we were difficult to break down. And then, you know, the week after that against Airdrie, it was identical. Identical performance with a chance. I think we might have had a penalty kick. And then, you know, we lost our goal four or five minutes before the end, and one quickly became three. So they're a bit dejected after the game. But I'd said to them, I says, look, sometimes these things happen in games. You know, it's very similar to the Montrose one. You just got to be a bit, you know, mentally tougher. So each game has been, you know, obviously we played, I think it was, might have been, you know, it was Dunfermline after that. And obviously Dunfermline's very difficult. You've got to survive, you know, 30, 35 minutes, frustrate them a bit. And obviously we lost a goal after 20 minutes. But we were with a better performance in the second half when I put Daniel up front with Kieran, because I found it difficult for Kieran. So we created a few chances after that. You know, we probably put them under, but maybe give them a bit too much respect. And then obviously Clyde game, a great battling performance. And, you know, probably one of the games that we probably could have scored three or four. You know, there was a few cleared off the line. You know, it was great. And then obviously, I think it was, I'm not sure if it was Queen of the South after that, where, you know, it was really weird, the Queen of the South game, because, like I say, up to 25 minutes into the game, we were doing well until Jordan came off, and then sort of fell apart. And, you know, we're actually lucky to go in at half-time 1-0 up, you know, and, you know, that was the first time it's ever happened. We're lucky, and we're doing okay, lost a goal, and these things happen. And then, you know, obviously, Ellie had a mistake. In fact, the second goal, I'm not sure if it was Ellie's mistake, second goal, we actually looked like, well, we might get a draw out of this. So, and then the first half, we could have been five down. And, you know, like I'm saying, I'm not saying there's luck, but you can see little lucky things beginning to happen that were lucky. And then, you know, I spoke to Brian Rice after the game, and he said, we have to go five at the back to stop you, because we knew you were going to score. So the beliefs coming there, I know the players go out there knowing that they can win. I think before they were a little bit, you know, back of their mind, can we win? But I think, you know, we're creating chances, and we just need to stop the individual mistakes, I think. And I think that'll come the more they play together. You know, I think it hurts the players, you know, guys like Jason, it really hurts them more, probably more than a lot, Jordan and Strachan, guys that have been at the club for a number of years. So, but I think with the freshness of the new players coming in, they've got a bit more positivity, and they don't really know what happened the early part of the season. So they've come with a freshness, and, you know, obviously we just got to, you know, not so much hope. I can feel it coming. You know, the performances are getting better, we're stronger, we're a harder team to play against now. So creating chances, which we weren't at the start.
Is it sometimes difficult to keep the belief, not you personally, but the players, for them to believe that they can get out of the situation that they're in? Or is that sometimes made too bad with the new players coming in?
I think the new players are fine, and I think, you know, the existing players have got that desire to do it. Obviously, we let one or two players go that, you know, should we say it, but they were sort of dragging us down a bit, you know, off the pitch, morale-wise. And, you know, the morale is such a huge thing in the game now. And one person can bring all that down. So I think there's a lot more positivity within the group. There's certainly a belief. You know, the one thing that we lack maybe is a bit more experience within the team. You know, I mean, look at Jason. Jason's still relatively young. And obviously Jordan is an older head, but he wasn't playing much prior to me coming in. He's a talker on the pitch. Ryan, for being an experienced boy, is he organises, but we just don't have that real leader, the vocal guy that'll organise things on the pitch when things aren't going well.
You've mentioned that a few times in your post-matches about, you know, a leader being vocal, or the team they've been vocal enough. Is it a case that you're looking for somebody to almost do the sort of bawling and shouting, like a Roy Keane, for example, in the middle of the park, or are you looking for somebody to be a leader in terms of, you know, just like Scott Brown would have done for us last season, you know, get the ball and just make things happen?
Yeah, well, I remember watching Peterhead when Mason was there, you had Scott Brown, you had Simon Ferry, David McCracken, all these guys that were talkers. And it's not even, I think it's more a case of when, in a game, at some point someone's going to get go against you. You know, it might be a 10-minute spell where you're under a bit of pressure or you lose a goal or something happens. But you need that guy that'll hold it together and give everybody that belief instead of everybody beginning to doubt themselves. And I think that's, I mean, obviously we're talking to a number of players for next season. I know we're still in this season. But I know what we need. It's been difficult to bring in players because those types of players are still at a club. You know, they've got a year's contract, so it's very difficult to bring them in. You know, I have noticed a huge difference when Ryan Strachan came in. I know he's relatively vocal, he organises, he keeps us together a little bit. You know, obviously Stuart McKenzie's came in. You know, we had Tom Ritchie for a while who was, you know, he's young, and obviously he's, I'm not saying he's nervous, but he wasn't the greatest talker, and that's because he was 19, you know. So I think that's a big part of our game is that, or lacking, is just that the leadership on the pitch.
You kind of touched on recruitment there. We've got loads of questions with regards to recruitment, as you could imagine. First one for Neil Thompson. Has the rise in the profile of the Highland League and Lowland League made it more difficult to recruit?
I don't think so. I know there's a lot of talk about it, but I think it's how you sell the club. You know, obviously I've come in with a bit of enthusiasm and I've managed to get players in, even for next season, you know, talking to players, pre-contracts, that kind of thing. So I think the hard part is the Highland League. And I don't even think it's more fees and compensation and, you know, Highland League teams can be very awkward to work with, you know, no matter how much a player wants to step up. And then you've got to remember that when you bring in a Highland League player, it can be a little bit of a gamble as well because, you know, in theory, League One, you're playing sort of a couple of levels up. And it's a gamble. Can they do it? Can they not do it? So, you know, if you have to pay a fee, it's a big gamble, you know. So I think the Highland League part of it, we tried to get a striker, but we couldn't get it. He ended up going to another club. But we've actually, I won't even mention it, but we've signed, we've got one player in a pre-contract for next season. So, no, we are working that way, but you have to make sure that the players are good enough and they have to have the desire to come and play, you know, because once you come in, obviously the best players in the Highland League play every week, but you come into a higher level and you might not play every week, you know, and that might, you know, you've got to fight for a position. And I think overall, I found that when I came in was that there's probably 11 players that knew they were going to play every week. And you could tell, I'm not saying their attitudes, but, you know, there's got to be a bit of competition, you know, healthy competition, you know, a bigger squad, so that you know that if you don't play well, there's a chance that you're not going to play next week. And I think Highland League players, some of them find it very, very difficult. But the player that we've agreed to, he's, you know, desperate to come and have a go. And obviously there's one or two other players in the Highland League we'll try and get. But, you know, as I say, we've been earmarking a number of players for next season. But this season, I think, you know, obviously when you bring in players at a window, you know, I brought in Boris at the start. I think it was the first week that he came in, but he hadn't played for a club for 6 months. He was physically fit, but not match fit. And, you know, he came in and did us a turn, 3 games of trialist, because we just wanted a striker of some sort. And to be fair to him, you know, probably against the Montrose, you know, when he came on as a sub, he did well. You know, he buzzes about, he gives us something. So it was very, very difficult. You know, Kevin hadn't played for probably a few months as well. So that's what's going to happen when you get players in the window. I mean, and then if you get offered players halfway through the window, it means they've got 6 months left that the club don't want them. So there's a reason why that is. So it's not like now I can plan ahead and say, right, next season we want these players. Sometimes you've got to pick what's out there at this time of the year. So it's been difficult. I remember I saw something on social media about someone saying, you know, it's all defenders were signing. Well, there was a process to get Big Josh. There was a process to get Kieran, process to get Dan. You know, it's not like we can just go out and grab them and that's it. It's like you've got waiters that are available. You know, one of the other things that we fell into a trap was that there's a rule that you can only play for two clubs in a season. And then one or two players, you know, we'd almost had them signed, and but we'd have been a third club, so they couldn't play until next season. So it's been difficult. And obviously the loan signings as well. You know, like Tom Ritchie got taken back. I mean, if that hadn't happened, we'd probably still have Tom now. And obviously Mike Hewitt was taken back. So it's been a challenge, but I think it was important to get more physical players in and guys with probably a bit of freshness about them that haven't carried the baggage of the early part of the season of, you know, getting beat every week and the disappointment. Because eventually it becomes a habit when you're losing games, and it's important that a freshness came in. And to be fair, they've lifted spirits a bit. And like I say, you know, guys like Ryan Strachan have said that we actually feel like we're going out and we can win games now.
Did the Tom Ritchie situation change your plans towards the end of the window? Obviously, Jim Goodwin got sacked. Tom was in a bit of limbo whether he's going back, and obviously went to go for Stuart McKenzie on the Thursday. Did that change your plans for maybe another position or another sort of player that you're maybe looking at?
Well, no, because we've got, you're allowed five loan players, and at the moment we've got four. So I think I've still got one left. But, you know, to be fair to Aberdeen, they've said as well that if, God forbid, Stuart McKenzie gets an injury or whatever, we can, because Tom, I suppose, he played for two teams. He was at Queen of the South earlier, and obviously now ourselves. But I don't think Aberdeen counts because he wasn't playing the first team. It means that he could come back as an emergency loan to help us out. And, you know, it's good of Aberdeen, Neil Simpson, to offer that sort of olive branch kind of thing. So the loan thing is difficult. You know, there was one or two players I tried to get, experienced players, both in the Championship, but we just, they end up going to a full-time team, which you understand. So, you know, it's, you've just got to use them wisely. And I think the loan players that we've got actually make an impact. We've got Jack McKeever coming in. He was at Aberdeen, and to be fair, he found it difficult. Just our midfield was a mess last week, so he found it difficult in that area. But he's certainly got a talent that, you know, I think one of the things we miss is a connection between the midfield and the strikers. And we're hoping that he might be, you know, the guy moving forward.
I think you maybe touched on it already, but Kevin Park wants to know, is the Highland League a market you want to exploit?
Yeah, no, it is. But again, there's a few things. It's got to be financially sensible. The player has to want to make that step up. And obviously the club have to play ball kind of thing that you're playing, that you're sort of dealing with. So it's very difficult. I didn't realise, to be honest with you. I've spoke with League One teams, League Two, Championship, agents, all sorts, down in England, here, abroad. And it's all straightforward, but Highland League tends to be complicated. I mean, a lot of them play games. You know, they sort of tell you one thing and things change, and then they say, we can't do this, and then it changes at the last minute. And it all tends to be on their side. There's not a lot of, you know, give and take. I mean, we even, talking about the recruitment, I had a player, Crizzo, in India, from Ivory Coast. He was at Monaco as a kid. He's a 6'7" striker. And incredible, we, obviously, the lower leagues were getting visas. So we applied for a visa, and we were the first one to get turned down for the visa. And he would have made a huge, huge difference. He's a fantastic player. But for some reason it was turned down. Yet we've got a visa for Enoch and Lauren that it didn't quite happen. So we need to find out for future reference, you know, the visa part, can we still do it, can we not do it? Like I say, we were the first club to get a visa rejected, and this player is, I would have said, is better than most players in the lower leagues, as in foreign players.
Colin Smith wants to know as well, is the January recruits enough to get us out of the situation with it, or do you think we're going to need more?
Well, we're still actively looking. Obviously, we try to bring in a player that was here at the start of the season, but he's looking for silly money, even though he doesn't have a club. So you've got to question attitudes at that point. Like I say, we can still get a loans. Obviously, we've put Davy Wilson out to Locos on loan, and we've still got the option of bringing him back before the 28th of February. I felt he needed games. We've got Prince that's gone on loan to Lochie United. And like I say, it's for me, it's difficult trying to organise a game. You know, because if you have a midweek game, some players can't play it, and then there's guys that have been playing that you want to just train, but you can't do both. So it's difficult, and I think Davy Wilson needed games, Prince needed games. Prince, there's definitely ability there, but obviously we've got to make a decision by the end of this month, you know, what we do with those players. But we are still actively looking for potentially another midfield player.
A lot of players have left as well. John Buckland wants to know what were the reasons for some of the players leaving. You've mentioned David Wilson, I think was one he'd mentioned, but I think Andy McDonald was one as well. Can you give us any specific reasons why, or was that something you maybe didn't want to go into?
Well, no, I think there's a mixture. You get some guys that are carrying injuries that can't play or can't play the way that they want to, and then obviously some attitude, you know, a negative attitude within the group. There's a various amount of reasons, you know. Some of them I felt weren't good enough. But, you know, I think for Andy McDonald, I do feel that, you know, I left him out of a game, and, you know, he's been a great servant in the club, but I just knew that physically, you know, he obviously is carrying an injury, and he did struggle with it. And I think at this level, you can't, it's very difficult to get away with it, you know. And the big Rusty, you know, I've known him again from the time Mason was here, you know, potentially a fantastic player, but, you know, again, could only play 20 minutes, hadn't played since March, and it was 20 minutes here, 15 minutes there, and, you know, we needed more, you know, from players, and, you know, particularly the salaries are on, you need to make sure that they're going to, you know, make a difference and pull their weight kind of thing, and, you know, good guys and what have you, but it just, I think, you know, we need to sort of move on a little bit. You know, and obviously with Julian Carr, another one that, you know, I felt wasn't going to get us out of the hole we're in. You know, I just felt, you know, he's not a luxury player, but, you know, if we're mid-table, he's certainly somebody who can go and excite the crowd and do whatever. But, you know, I just felt in our current situation, I just didn't feel that he would be a huge benefit for us.
I think it might have been Les Hill that mentioned just after you joined that there'd be a more sort of local based players would be the sort of priority. That hasn't happened as yet. Has that been deliberate, or is it just the sheer difficulties
get
players in?
You know, it's something I'm trying to get my head around is, and, you know, what is classed as local? You know, is local Peterhead, or is it the North East? I'm a little bit unsure, but the one thing that we've done, again, like the January window, it's very difficult. You can't exactly just decide where the players are coming from. Ideally, you know, obviously Danny's here, and like I say, he's got a good future at the club. It's difficult because we need to sort of forge relationships with, you know, boys clubs and all sorts of stuff, and that's something that I know that's maybe one of the questions, but, you know, I came in, I think it was about 8 weeks ago that I came in, and Peterhead Boys Club reached out, and my wife's nephew played at Peterhead Boys Club, so we know all about it. I've done a couple of sessions there as well previously, so it's something that we want to do, reach out to all these, you know, organisations, and I said that I would get back to them, but obviously the first part for me was to try and, you know, get a team on the park, you know, get through the window. Obviously, after this Clyde game, it's a massive game for us. And then we can try and do all the other bits and pieces, build things up. I don't know if you, obviously, you probably don't know, but the makeup of the team, there's actually less players from Glasgow now.
Yeah, we didn't notice.
I think Conor O'Keefe is going to get surgery next week. We've got Cody McLeod, you've got Boris, and you've got Andy McCarthy. And that's it. And then, obviously, the English guys you brought in are based in Dundee, and obviously we've got a couple of loan players from there. Then the rest, I think it's about, it might even be 12 maybe about 12 from the northeast. So that side of things is we're getting, that's obviously Stuart McKenzie's come in, Jack McKeever, Kieran, obviously John Allen's now moved to the to Fraserburgh. So Tuesday nights now, we've decided, and it starts tomorrow, that we're going to train at Balmore. So what we're going to do is, you know, some of the, because we weren't training until 8:30 at night, so guys like from Aberdeen and Glasgow, whatever, were training twice a week in Dundee, you know, they're not getting home till after midnight. So it was very difficult to ask them twice. And I remember, obviously, Jim, he trained once a week and they did their own thing the other day. But I think Tuesday, like I say, I think we'll end up, whenever he's fit, we'll probably have about maybe 20 players training in Balmore on a Tuesday night. And then the South ones, I'll go with Jimmy, do a little bit there with him. I mean, Andy's obviously fit enough. We managed to organise a trainer in a gym for them. And then we'll all come together again on a Thursday. But I think it's important that, you know, when you think about a club like Peterhead, that's, you know, the people who go to the stadium and watch the games, you know, want to see the players. And it might not happen, well, tomorrow we're going to train, but maybe the following week we might open it up to whoever wants to come and watch, because we're training on the pitch. And I think it's important, not only that, but for the players as well, because, you know, that when you think about it, majority of players only go there, what, 18 times a season. You know, so it's important they know the club, they know the people, and it's on a match day as well, all you're doing is focusing on a game, but you can come up, and I know some of the boys are going to come up early, and we might even try and do some community stuff with some of them that come up early. Like I say, the boys in Dundee, they don't work, so they're going to come up on a Tuesday and train with the team. So a lot of togetherness, and it's important to get to know the team. We've also started training on a Monday morning. Like I say, we've got, I think it's 10 players that are basically don't work. And so we take them for a bit of training, a bit of fitness, technical work and whatever. So we're trying to do everything we can. But I think it's a long time since the team's trained in Peterhead. I think it might have been Ian Stewart and Ian Wilson. I think, obviously, the dynamics change because of where the players come. And next season, we don't know what's going to happen. But I think it just makes a little bit of sense. Like Ryan and Jason, you know, it's twice a week they're going down to Dundee, not getting home till midnight, particularly on a, you know, they're getting up and going to work at 7 in the morning. So guys like me kind of forget all the commitment they've got, and you want to make sure they're fresh, you know, come a Saturday.
You've kind of mentioned there about the link with the boys' club and other clubs. What about a youth setup? A lot of folk have been asking about a youth club or a youth team for Peterhead. Again, is that something you'd like to see, and is that a project that would be in the future?
I think it is. I mean, I work close with Natty Portner. And, you know, like we've spoken about under-20s, but that comes with, you know, there's a lot of issues with each thing you do. And what we don't want to do is start something that falls apart. We need to make sure that we start something and it's something that's got a good plan and it'll work. You know, like we had spoken about under-20s, but it's very difficult to, because of the, I think it's the loan players and playing for someone else, and there's a lot of sort of guidelines that we have to get to. But I do think that it's like everywhere. Cashmere was the same when I was there. You know, everybody wants local players and what have you, and there's only so much that we can do, you know. But I think, you know, I think first and foremost, we need, I know there was a relationship before with Peterhead Boys Club. That's something that we wanted to try and do, because it's very difficult to start something from scratch. We might be able to join in with something and help. But again, I always feel, from my experience in America and India and everything, it's like, okay, we want to have a boys' club, we want to have a youth system, whatever. But it's a case of, it's not a case of what we want, how can we help? The kids and the youths and up boys' clubs, how can we help them? It's not just take from us. So we've got to be careful, but we have to make sure that it's going to work. But like I've said I spoke with Natty about 20s, and probably after the Clyde game, the window's closed. Okay, we're still looking for one or two things, but if we can get past the obviously the Clyde game, hopefully we'll get a favourable result there. You know, I can then start, you know, some of the other things. You know, I've got meetings lined up, but I just wanted to make sure, because obviously this is the main focus at the moment. I think it's only 8 weeks I've been here, so we've crammed in a lot in the 8 weeks. There's been a lot of good stuff, bad stuff, organising, redoing things. So, you know, it's like, hopefully by the start of the season, we've got a lot of things in place. So it will work. You know, hopefully things will be like clockwork and we can, you know, add one or two arms to the club.
Again, a number of folk are asking, what are your sort of long-term objectives or ambitions for the club?
Well, I think, for me personally, you know, when I look at, you look what Cove's done, you look where Montrose are now, I think we are, you can see the club, you know, I'll be honest with you, since I've come in, the board have been fantastic, they've backed everything I've wanted to do, there's been nothing that says you can't do this, they've been absolutely fantastic, and I know they're ambitious, hopefully we can stay up this season. If we can do that, we've obviously got to, you know, build a team that's capable of, you know, making the playoffs or being up there, not sort of hanging on. And then, you know, our aim really is to be a sort of stable championship team. And I know that might sound like pie in the sky to a lot, but, you know, I think the infrastructure's there. You know, obviously there's things that we need to do on and off the pitch and what have you, but ultimately, if we were to go down this year, it'll be hard to come back up straight away. You know, obviously there's the Lowland League teams coming up, and you know, that, obviously that would be tough. But I think obviously our main aim short term is to stay up, and then if that happens next season, have a team that's that can challenge to get in the playoffs. And you know, because I don't want to be a club where we're in this position every year. You know, it's not enjoyable for anyone. You know, the supporters, it's, you know, it's miserable. And, you know, for me, it's, like I say, I've always been optimistic. I've always been a successful club. And that's what I aim for. You know, I'm not happy for, you know, being second best.
Right, we've got some specific questions now. One from Gary Tomlinson. He wants to know, why doesn't Cody McLeod get a game, a regular game, and what does he need to do to get a regular game?
Well, Cody, when we came in, he was the one player that we thought, wow, what a player, what a talent he's got. And it might have been, it could have been my fault. I thought, you know, you forget that he's still relatively young. He's got incredible talent, work rate, whatever. But sometimes when you play him in a game, you don't see that. And I think a lot of it is down to confidence with Cody. Is that I think I've already spoken to Cody that I want him to be here next year. Because I think he's got a talent. I think he needs a bit of time. And again, it's difficult because we don't have time at the moment. We've got time of sure things. We played him against Edinburgh, and you know, to be honest, I took him off in the first half just because he was just totally lost. But now we've dipped him in 10 minutes here, 15 minutes here, and you can see, I think he's gradually getting that confidence. And I think, you know, like I said before, there was a lot of negativity when we first came in, within the dressing room, within the club, and I think that killed him as well. You know, if he made a mistake, he was getting slaughtered and all that kind of stuff. So obviously that sort of mentality has changed, and you can see him getting better and better. But I do think, you know, he will, hopefully he'll feature more and more as we go along, because like I say, he's got in training, the things he does in training is incredible. You know, sometimes we'll play the team that's going to start on the Saturday against the other players, and he ends up scoring 3 goals against them, you know. So, but when it comes to the games, that's when he has to produce it in those games. He's just got to be able to do it in the games. But that'll come with time. And with us, we're not, you know, people might think I'm grumpy and I shout all the time, and it's not quite the case. I'm very supportive and positive towards them, and you know, if somebody makes a mistake, I'm not going to shout and swear at them or whatever. I'll, you know, they're all going to make mistakes. It's the attitude application, and it's the things that they have to produce.
Neil Thompson wants to know, what was the thinking of the change of ends for the warm-ups? I think normally we'd be shooting towards the Balmour end, second half.
In the games?
Yeah, well, I think he's more specifically about the warm-ups. Is it the other end, is that right?
I don't know. I haven't gone to look at a warm-up, to be honest. That's right, I remember that, because they go in the top end. I don't know why that is, to be honest. It's a good question. And I didn't even realise it, but normally you warm up in the side of the dugout. But I remember when Mason was there, when Scott was warming up, I'd walk round and talk to Scott, and he was always at the gate where you come in.
Yes.
Well, you're right enough, I'll have to find it, because Barry was here at the start of the season, and Barry Thompson, so I'll have to find that out, why that changed, because that was the first time. Now I understand what you're saying. I didn't realise at the time, so now I get it. I'll try and find that out.
Okay, look. Again, a lot of folk have been asking about Mason. How's he getting on with his career at the moment, and is there any chance of him coming back and playing for Peterhead?
Yeah, well, Mason, believe it or not, I was actually playing golf when I heard the news that Jim McAnally had resigned. I was in Phoenix with him. So he actually got married. Probably in what I think it was July, but obviously because he's in America, he's been through the paperwork for citizenship, green card. So he's sort of stuck in America. He can't leave the country until then. So he hasn't been playing since we came back from India. But he has said that he would have a strong interest in coming to Peterhead next season, provided in. You know, his paperwork's done, and I think his wife's quite open to that as well. So it would be nice to have him, but, you know, I think he's got his own life now, so I'm not going to push him. If he comes to me and says he wants to come, then that's okay.
I didn't take this the wrong way around, but obviously watching the two documentaries, he had that sort of weird transatlantic accent. Is he fully American accent now, or has he still got that sort of Scottish twang as well?
Well, it's funny because he's been back in America since, I think, May, and I actually spoke to him the other night on the phone, and he's a lot more American than he was when he was at Peter. if you spoke to him, you'd think he was American, yeah.
Good stuff. Well, hopefully we might see him next season then. Before we go then, we should get your thoughts on Saturday's game then at Clyde. Obviously a massive game for us, massive game for both sides really, in terms of getting out of this rut that we're in. How are the preparations going? Obviously no game this weekend. How are things looking ahead of the game?
Yeah, we're doing okay. I think Josh will be fit. He's got to train tomorrow. Jordan, there's a doubt on Jordan. And then obviously Ryan Strachan, we've given him a bit of a rest. So we've got to wrap him up in cotton wool until the game to make sure that he's okay. Because he obviously is a huge player for us. But I think, you know, it's another week that we've been together. I think we're close to having a settled team. Obviously the disappointment is Jordan, you know. Probably a lot of people wouldn't be thinking that because he hardly played, but I think when he doesn't play, I think him and Andy McCarthy do well together, communication and what have you. Because, you know, Andy plays the way Andy plays. You know, he's great on the ball and keeps possession, but we need somebody to play alongside him. And I think that's my only, at the moment, that's the only concern within the team. You know what you're going to get from the rest of them. Kieran up front, you know, is. He's been exceptional. Again, he's another one that I just wish that we could have some guy that would give a big donation so we could buy him from abroad. So I'm hinting there, by the way. I think he's been fantastic. So I think, you know, we're a team that can create chances. We've just got to make sure we stop these individual errors where, you know, things are going well and then suddenly we find ourselves a goal down or concede a goal. But no, the players are ready for it. I think the break was actually good. Got a few boys back. And, you know, I think sometimes, you know, when you're coming up to such a big game, it's good just to have, you know, I'm not saying forget about the game, but just get away from it for a little bit. And I think the players have managed to do that. Saturday was a fun kind of day. The hard work starts again tomorrow at Balmore. So I think, you know, we're very, very optimistic. We know it's going to be a tough game. They've added one or two players as well. So, but, you know, we've got the confidence of having beaten them before. So we'll go down there. As long as we're nice and tight, we know that we'll get chances to score. And, you know, it would actually be nice to come back on a bus from an away game, you know, a bit happier than what we normally are.
We've got a really decent record against Clyde in the last few years. I think it's one loss in the last 13, so you'd like to keep that going.
So no pressure there. Yeah, no, obviously, it's a massive game for us, you know, just like the one that was at home. And, you know, I think when we first came in, we were 2 points behind, and now we're level. You know, the last thing we want to be is 3 points behind them, you know, in a worse-off position. And, you know, at the very, very worst, you want to be level with them. But you don't want it to come down to, you know, having to nip points off other teams. You know, it's at the moment, it's in our hands. And, you know, we've got to make sure that we grab it. We go there full of confidence. And I know the players, you know, believe that they can go there and get a result.
Is it almost at the stage now where you're treating every game as a cup final?
Well, as we don't. I mean, to be honest, a lot of times, I don't even think. I am so cocooned now. I don't even look at other results in the league or any league. It's just, you know, I don't even look at the league table. I just focus on our game. So every focus is on Clyde. And then after that, it'll be Kelty or whoever. Like I'm saying, sometimes you don't even know who you're playing next because you're so focused on a game. But again, it's about us. You know, like I say, the team know who we're playing against. Some of the new boys have obviously played against Clyde. So we know what it's all about. And they all know what a big game it is and what it means to everyone. And, you know, we just got to go out and give a good account of themselves. And, you know, I think that the second half against Alloa, we did really. It's probably one of the best halves we've played this season, attack wise. So we've got to make sure that, you know, they come off the pitch. They're obviously disappointed, but they all know that it's coming together, you know. But we've just got to make sure that Saturday is the day that it happens.
Yeah, well, hopefully it does, and hopefully we're up the road with 3 points. Davey, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Really appreciate your honesty with some of the questions, maybe a bit more difficult than maybe you were anticipating, but appreciate your honesty and coming on.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, obviously, like I say, I think I don't mind, you know, speaking how I feel, but, you know, I think the supporters need to know what's going on and updates and, you know, because, like I say, training on a Tuesday night will help, you know, when we can make it open to the supporters, because I sometimes feel that the supporters come to the games and don't really know the players, you know. So I think hopefully I can try and change all that. And like I say, that, you know, I'm always open for questions. I think I'm doing a meet the manager meeting, I think, in a couple of weeks' time at the stadium as well. So like I say, anybody wants to ask questions, I'm more than happy to, you know, it doesn't matter if they're difficult questions. I think everybody needs to know what's going on, and, you know, and they shouldn't really be kept in the dark too much.
Yeah, appreciate your time, and good luck for Saturday. And as I said, hopefully it's another 3 points in the bag.
Yeah, hopefully, no problem at all. Okay.
And that is it for this week. I do hope you have enjoyed it. A massive thank you again to David Robertson for taking his time and coming on to the podcast and answering your questions. Thank you to everyone who sent in those questions for David. Apologies if we didn't get to ask yours. There was just so many to go through. I've been Colin Byers. Martin and I will be back again next week. So until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.